Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Writer Chick with your host, Kay Nicole. So I hope you guys are doing well. I'm doing okay. If you see what's different, my hair is different today. I finally took out my braids last week. And I binge watched Stranger Things while I was doing it. That season is wild. If you would like to discuss, please hit me up because it was just so good. I cannot wait another month. I also had to spend $82 today on two textbooks for my class, so I'm a little irritated, but that's totally fine. It is what it is. Nothing we can do. But we're not here for that today. We're here for the episode. But before we get into that, I just gotta go through the normal stuff I always go through, so if you want to stick around, then feel free. If not, you can totally skip ahead. I'm not offended. So first thing on the list, you can donate to the podcast if you want to. I have the listener support link down below in the description box or in the show notes. Depends on where you're listening to me at. So feel free if you want to give me a little bit of money. I'm not going to break down your door if you don't, but it would be mad appreciated. And just to be nice, I might even drop my Cash App as well. That way you don't have to do, you know, monthly payments. You can just do a one-time payment. That's just to support me as a creator. So yeah, it would be greatly appreciated. Number two, this podcast is available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, YouTube, and Spotify. Spotify is the last one I forgot about. So yeah, if you're listening to me on your platform of choice, then it's very, very, very nice to meet you. I hope you are enjoying yourself so far and that you stick around. And please, please, please recommend me to your friends if you think this is something they would enjoy, because, you know, I need all the exposure I can get. Number three. What is number three? Number three, if you're a self-published author or you know somebody who is, feel free to sign up for a free book review. I'll review your book on my blog, Goodreads, and Amazon. If you want podcast space, that's a completely separate thing. You can just head over to the tab on my blog website and you can go from there and shoot me an email. So up to you. And four, please make sure to follow me at K the Writer. That is K-A-E the Writer on Instagram. I'm telling you, you will receive a lot of updates. You might see a little bit more into my life, a bunch of behind the scenes content, because I actually just filmed one for this. So if you want to see what it's like for me to record every day, then that would be really cool. So if you're interested, then feel free to follow me on there. It would be nice. All right, so I'm assuming, since you clicked on this episode, you're interested in the 10 books I've loved and why. Originally, I was going to do 10 books I hated, but surprisingly, I could only think of two. So I decided to just go with 10 books I loved. And yeah, so if you're interested in seeing some of the stuff I've been interested in reading, maybe you're looking for a new book recommendation, then feel free to stick around. Super excited to share, even if people don't read anymore, which makes me sad, but that's okay. I'm sure there's a small group of people somewhere who actually do enjoy to read and like to read and want to know more about books. So, yeah, let's get into it. Oh, also, disclaimer. Actually, I have two disclaimers. One, there might be language in this episode. It may or may not happen, but I tend not to censor myself. So if you don't want to play this around your kids, then I suggest you listen to it by yourself. And number two, a lot of these books do deal with heavy topics like essay, which I'm only abbreviating this because YouTube, I think, flags you if you say it. I don't know. I've heard some things about it, and I know TikTok does. So just to avoid that, I am just going to abbreviate this. If you want to know what that actually means, then feel free to Google it yourself or read my blog post, because I do actually have it written out. It's not because I like to censor the word. It's just because the world likes to censor the word, which I think is dumb, but it is what it is. Also, torture, war, death, you know, all the stuff nobody likes to talk about. So if that triggers you in any way, then please make sure you don't read these books, or make sure you do your proper research before you pick it up, because I don't want to be responsible. Okay? So the first book on the list is The Girl Who Could Fly by Victoria Forrester, and I'm going to pop this up right here. This is my copy. As you can tell, it's very worn. So that means I've read it quite a bit, and you're going to understand why in a minute. But yeah, this is one of my favorite books, like definitely on the list. I have a summary as well on my blog if you want to read it, or you can Google it, doesn't matter. And I'll also, I'll also put a whole list of what the books are in case you don't feel like listening to all this. But anyways, I have a whole summary about what it is. As you can see, I have a picture and then a whole like little summary. So Oh my gosh, I cannot turn the phone. Okay, there we go. We're good. Yeah, I have a whole little summary. So if you want to see what it's about first, then feel free. Anyways, so surprisingly, I actually had gotten that book from the little Scholastic book fairs. I don't know if anybody remembers those. But I remember back in, like, I don't know what grade, but I was in, like, maybe elementary school-ish time. And I remember we were all forced to go to the big-ass auditorium, and they had all these bookshelves full of books, all these little children's books. And I remember finding this book and picking it up, and I was like, oh, this seems really interesting. And I just fell in love with it, okay? I've probably read this book at least 10 times, which, again, if you saw how bad the cover looked, yeah, you can tell it was well-loved, right? And I think this book holds such a special place in my heart because it came to me during a time when I was getting teased. I know it probably doesn't seem like I got bullied like that in school, but I really did. And I was actually one of those kids who was very isolated. Like, I didn't really start having a social life until maybe high school. And even then, it still was, like, really minor. So I've actually had more friends in, like, later high school, college time frame than I have ever had in my entire life, okay? Middle school, I was so quiet. Like, I didn't have any friends. I literally went about 3 years without really talking to anybody. And any friends I did have, I mean, they were kind of, like, not really my friend or acquaintances, or they didn't really like me. So I was really to myself, and books were kind of my only escape a lot of that time. And this was one of those books that came to me during the time I really needed it, because if you guys didn't know, I had something called strabismus, which, if you don't know that, it's a condition where one eye is misaligned. So, like, one eye will go this way while one eye stays, like, focused straight on you. It happened due to, like, head trauma as a kid, so it wasn't like I was born with it. It just kind of happened because I got dropped on my head a lot, or I experienced a lot of trauma because I was one of those weird ass kids who liked to, like, beat my head against the floor for some reason during temper tantrums. I'm not really sure why, but anyways, it knocked a couple screws loose, and I basically had that condition for as long as I could remember. I just, sometimes I would stare straight at you, and one eye would literally go the other way. So it, you know, it happens to the best of us. But the thing is, it wasn't really, like, an insecurity of mine until other kids started making fun of me for it, which I feel like is how it always starts. But when kids used to ask me, like, oh, are you even looking at me? Or why does your eye do that? That's so weird. It started to bother me. Because then I was like, oh, wait, maybe it really is weird. So then now I just had a hard time accepting that part of myself. So, you know, the main character of the book, Piper McLeod, she was the person that I wanted to be, right? Because she was somebody who just loved who she was. She accepted her differences despite the fact that the world around her didn't, and didn't want to accept who she was. You know, even her parents were like, oh, you flying is so weird and abnormal and blah, blah, blah. And the kids around her would make fun of her for it and stuff like that. And it just, it struck a chord with me because I know how that felt, to be so different from everyone else, that it almost was bothersome. But what I liked about Piper was that she was so strong in who she was that she didn't let other people deter her, and she didn't let their comments necessarily affect her so much to the fact that she felt a need to get rid of it or fix it or whatever. So I didn't necessarily get that to that point where I didn't need to fix it, because I actually ended up getting it fixed later on. I was like 12, I think, when I finally got surgery to, you know, tighten the eye muscle. Doesn't mean it's fully gone, though, because actually sometimes it still will kind of drift, just not as bad as it did. Like, it literally would go like this, you know what I mean? Now it's just like a little bit, especially if I'm tired, you'll notice, but for the most part, it's pretty normal. So most people don't really know unless I tell them and they're, like, surprised, or if I show them photo evidence, because I actually have a few photos where it's like that, so maybe if I find one, I'll insert it somewhere. But yeah, it was a legit thing. Now, do I regret doing it? No. No. I would do it again. It made me feel better about myself at that time, and I think it was necessary. And I would do it again in a heartbeat, but I will say that that lesson from that book, I still took with me later in life. Like, it, just because I got it fixed and whatever doesn't mean I didn't learn something from it. And now I'm at a point where I'm just kind of okay with accepting how different I am, And I just know that the universe made me the way they made me on purpose. And, you know, if other people want to project their own insecurities, their own trauma onto me, that's none of my business. Whatever they choose to send my way has nothing to do with me, but I can choose how I react to it and how I let it affect me. And I'm choosing to not let it affect me as big as it did. And now I'm kind of like how Piper is. I'm free and completely unbothered. So nobody cares. You know what I mean? And so it did change my life in a lot of ways. And that's partly why I still recommend it, because it was something that spoke to me and made me feel seen when nothing else ever did. So, yeah. Also, if you heard that ding a few minutes ago, that was WordPress. Apparently other people are reading this post, so. Yeah, shout out to y'all if you're listening. Thank you. It's appreciated. All right, so second book on the list. Hold on, I have to dig it out of the pile, but hold on. The books are falling, by the way, if you're wondering why I'm struggling. Is The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. I love this book. It's so good. Again, I have a summary as well if you want to read it, but it's so good. All right, so into the how I discovered it. Surprisingly, it was English class. It was AP Lit in my senior year. Side note, though, I don't think my English teacher really liked me that much back then. I was kind of a nuisance in her class, but, like, she, like, I think she, like, blatantly hated me. I think I mentioned her in my What I Learned from My First Novel podcast episode. So if you want to swing over there and listen to it, feel free. But I'm convinced she didn't like me. But that's not really the point. So in that class, what we did is we read a set number of, like, recommended books. So, like, Frankenstein, Crime and Punishment, the bullshit nobody likes. So we had to pick two books from a list she gave us, and we had to do a project on that. After every, like, semester ended. So, of course, I get the list, and of course, the majority of them are old, dead, white people I don't care about. There is such a lack of diversity in literature, especially in, like, high school. Like, there's no reason why there aren't more Black authors. There are plenty out there that we could read from, and you still give us the exact same people all the time. Like, it's just stupid. But anyways, I was irritated, and I wanted to specifically pick a Black author because I was sick and tired of reading people who didn't look like me, reading about characters that didn't look like me, reading about struggles that didn't matter to me. It just wasn't giving, right? So when I came across Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye, I was slightly intrigued because, one, I knew she was Black, and two, I actually had the book at home because of my mom. So I was like, okay, bet. I'll pick the book. I'll see if it's good. And I, you know what? I am so happy I did. It was chef's kiss. Because the thing is, it's such a haunting and profound take on colorism in the Black community and on beauty and beauty standards, right? And the story flips between Pecola and, like, two other sets of characters. I don't remember their name, and I didn't really feel like looking it up, but it flips between those two, right? But the main theme is the same for both girls or both sets of characters, is that beauty standards can really shape how young women see the world and themselves, and how colorism really is tearing us apart one by one. It's still a major problem. Like, me and my mom were having a conversation a couple days ago about how colorism is so deeply rooted in our community that it's completely affecting even, like, the smallest things. And it's really, really sad to see. You know what I mean? Because we should all be kind of banding together. We shouldn't be trying to separate each other based off who's light skin and who's darker skin and all that. You know what I mean? I understand the struggles that both sides face, but it's just sad. You know what I mean? We're still Black at the end of the day. So it's like, why do we have to keep dividing ourselves even more when, you know, other races, ethnicities, I don't know what the best word for this would be, divide us as well. Like, it's just, it's not helping. You know what I mean? So anyways, besides the point. So the thing is, Pecola, who is, like I said, the one of the characters in the thing, she's shunned by the people in town because she's darker skinned, which is already just bad. So she's automatically just seen as less than just because she was born with more melanin. And that is ridiculous. Like, you shouldn't be treated less than just because you're darker skinned. It's fucked up, right? And on top of that, she also doesn't conform to the traditional beauty standards of the time, which in this book, the traditional beauty standards of the time were white women. Blonde hair, blue eyes. That was considered beautiful then. And Of course, you know, beauty standards have started to shift over time, but it's still predominantly rooted in being lighter skinned, which is sad, right? It's harder for darker skinned people to be seen as a standard of beauty because the standard of beauty is still focused on people who are either light skinned black women or white women. And it's kind of like, the fuck, all shades are beautiful. It shouldn't be one or the other, you know what I mean? It's just sad. And so light skinned or white people were seen as the pinnacle of beauty, and this is what people should aspire to in order to be beautiful in society's terms and to be wanted. And I just remember feeling so sad for those girls in that book, especially Pecola, because I understand what it's like to want something you can't have because you think that beauty is only really measured in what society promotes. Body types and maybe skin tones are two different things, but I feel like they still kind of go together because, for example, you know, I struggle with wanting to be thicker, you know what I mean? Because, yeah, okay, people want to be skinny, but people really want to be, like, curvy thick, you know what I mean? That's the ideal fucking body type at this point. So, I had problems wondering, like, oh man, would I look better if I looked like that versus this? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? And it just becomes this, like, vicious cycle of self-hate that is relentless, because when you see yourself versus what society is pushing you to be, or say, oh, you should be this in order to really be pretty, it messes up with your self-esteem, and it's depressing. So lately, you know, I've learned to just embrace my body for what it is, but that only came from a lot of self-reflection and having the right community of people around me. But I know the girls in that book didn't have the right community of people around them to tell them otherwise, especially Pecola. And I know there's many other women out there or little girls that don't have that support system or that community to tell them, hey, you're perfect the way you are. Do not let society fool you into thinking that you need to be anything else. And that breaks my heart a lot. I always recommend this book to anyone because I think it's important that people recognize the impact that the media can have on young women, and we need to have more conversations about embracing yourself and not letting society dictate what you should look like. And also, don't even think this is just applying to women. I'm just saying that just because, I mean, we just know it's predominantly women, I guess. It's also for men. Men experience this same thing too, you know what I mean? I'm just only speaking for women because I am a girl, but I want to also highlight the fact that men do experience the same issues, and we shouldn't leave them out just because it's not as prominently known as much. Like, men just don't talk about it as much, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, you know what I mean? So don't get it twisted. And as for colorism, I do think that this book will allow for an open and honest conversation about how deeply it affects us, and if we let it continue, it's going to break apart the black community, let's just be honest. So yeah, I fully recommend reading this book at least once in your life if you can. That one and maybe Beloved. Beloved's a little bit more of a fever dream. So that, I read that book too. It was a little more of a fever dream, but The Bluest Eye is a lot more like kind of straightforward. So if you like books like that, I would probably recommend this for real, for real. Like, it's amazing. All right. So the third book is The Five People You Meet in Heaven by Mitch Albom. This was another English class recommendation, surprisingly, and it was just so good. I think what makes this special to me is that it was one of the first books that made me comfortable with the idea of death, all right? And it taught me that little moments that we don't take into account can actually have some of the biggest impacts on people's lives. And I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you. I'm, like, terrified of death, like, a little bit. I can understand that it's not gonna be painful, it's not gonna be anything crazy, but the idea of just not being in my body or not being me, I don't even know if this makes sense, but like not being me, not waking up tomorrow and being in this body that I'm used to, I can't even fathom that reality. So the idea of that gives me anxiety, okay? I don't know. I'm aware that we're all energy. I'm aware that energy never dies and that death is a natural part of life, but it still just seems terrifying to me. So it's just like, oh my gosh. You know what I mean? And over the years, I've reached a couple different conclusions as to what death could look like. So reincarnation, I do believe in that. Or if you've ever seen the OA, it's on Netflix. I highly recommend checking it out. They explore the idea of alternate dimensions. So it's not that you really die. You just kind of body hop into someone else, or you body hop into another version of yourself. And that made me slightly more comfortable with it as well. But this is like I said, one of the first books that made me feel more comfortable with discussing death and seeing what it could look like. And it also made me realize that the smallest thing can really change a person's life, even if it was super minor to you. And it was crazy. Just writing this blog post, I was actually reminded of a specific quote that I had seen floating around TikTok and whatever. And it was talking about how, it's specifically for trauma, by the way. I want to reiterate that. But it was talking about how sometimes people would do things, and to them, it's like another Wednesday or whatever day of the week. But to you, it was like a pivotal moment in your life that like completely shaped you and changed the trajectory of your entire existence. And I just found that really interesting that, you know, something small can really just make an impact. So I don't really think it needs any more explanation to that. I think you can kind of put the pieces together there. But yeah, I will probably always recommend this one as well, because it's one of those books that I will always remember. And I literally, every time I go to the bookstore and I see it, I immediately will hand it to somebody and be like, read it. Or if they're like, hey, what would you recommend? Read this book right now. It is so good. So, yeah, 10 out of 10. Would totally read it again. All right, so the fourth book on the list is The Way I Used to Be by Amber Smith. I would like to also, again, reiterate that this does deal with SA. So if this bothers you at all, please go ahead and speed along until we reach number 5. But if you don't care, then feel free to keep listening. Okay, I'm going to give you a second. All right, you're gone? All right. So, I'm going to hold up the book. Look at it. All right, so this one, I actually picked up on a whim. That's the crazy part. I got this from Target, like, what, a year or two ago? I just grabbed it because it looked interesting and I liked the cover. And I was like, And then I liked the premise and I was like, And I was like, okay. But I didn't think this was going to be one of those books that, like, deeply touched my heart. You know what I mean? I did not know that. But I just remember reading it and just feeling so much pain, okay? So, I haven't personally dealt with the subject matter myself. Like, I haven't dealt with SA, luckily. But I know a lot of people who have, and I know that the trauma that comes with it is so raw and deep. So, it's really hard to convey that accurately in a piece of fiction. Now, I don't know if this is as accurate as it's portrayed. I mean, maybe it isn't. Maybe everyone's experience is different, so maybe somebody might read this and be like, it's not accurate at all. Somebody might read it and say, yes, it is. So I can't fully speak on that, but to me, it felt like it was, I guess, just based off what I kind of know about it. And it did actually make me understand the mindset of someone who's gone through that a lot better. And it just kind of broke my heart to read the story. But I feel like this book can speak by Lori Halse Anderson, which I don't know if you've ever read that book. I'm going to pop it up here somewhere. That's a really good one too. I actually read that a long time ago as well. It was a very, very good book. Shouldn't be afraid to discuss this topic. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's painful, but it's real and it happens, and we shouldn't shy away from bringing it up. You know what I mean? People who unfortunately had to experience that trauma deserve to have a place where they feel seen. And I also think it's important for people like myself, because I'm sure that it will help us recognize what to look for in our loved ones so that they don't have to suffer alone. That's just my take on that. I mean, I could totally be wrong, and you can come for me in the comments, I guess, but that's just how I kind of took the book, and that's why I made it on this list. So, yeah. If you're able to handle it, I do recommend trying to read it and maybe seeing if it lives up to the hype, you know what I mean? Plus, the writing is absolutely phenomenal, so she deserves all the love she can get, okay? Like, for real. Please, just give her the love she deserves. All right, so number 5 on the list is Cheaters by Eric Jerome Dickey. Look at that. I'm so sad he's dead, by the way. He died, like, a year or two ago, I think. So sad. Just so sad. Now, I don't want you to think that I condone cheating, because I don't. I don't condone cheating at all. I've been cheated on. It's not funny. It's not a great thing to deal with. However, the story is amazing. So, it was a guilty pleasure book, okay? I picked this up from Second of Charles one day, just out of the blue, because one, I heard it aired Jerome Dickey, and I was like, I want to read more of his work. So I picked the book up, and the premise seemed interesting, so I wanted to read it, and you know what? It was phenomenal. It was amazing. I'm not a big cheating scandal type of person, but gosh darn it, it was really good. Okay. But I think what makes this book so interesting is that it shows how complex relationships truly are and how people are going to just make stupid decisions a lot of the time based off how they're feeling at the moment or who they're with or what's going on. And how nothing is ever really truly black and white or good or bad. It just is. And, you know, you may not agree with what people are doing, but sometimes maybe you can understand. And I just also loved how rich and simple his writing was, because he was able to really just immerse you in each setting and in each character. And that's a really hard thing to do, because he had at least like 4 or 5 sets of characters in that whole book that he was switching between. So to be able to do that and still make them their own person and give them their own unique voice to where I was never ever confused on who was talking takes a lot of skill, and I commend him for it. And he deserved every accolade that he received when he was here for Rome. His work is amazing. Really made this book get on this list is the fact that there was this one scene in there that had me bawling. Like, I was like boohoo crying when I read it, because you could just feel how much these two characters really loved each other and really wanted to be together, but there was just so much heartbreak in knowing that they couldn't, because one was married and the other was leaving to go somewhere else. So it just pulled at my heartstrings. And I don't normally cry when I read anymore, so for it to invoke that much of an emotion in me, shout out to you. Just take all my money. Like, you deserve the spot on this list, so yeah. Totally recommend it. Alright, so number 6 is Giovanni's Room by James Baldwin. Now, the cover is different on the blog post, but this is the cover that I got when I first bought it, so yeah, I guess it has multiple covers, but very good. Loved it. I actually had this recommended to me by a coworker, and this was way back in the day when I used to work at Home Goods. So if you guys didn't know, my first job was Home Goods. So shout out to y'all, I guess. I decided to just buy the book on the whim because, you know, or I just decided to buy this book on a whim because the premise sounded interesting, and I trusted my coworker's judgment. So I was like, okay, ordered it on Amazon, and a few days later, it was on my doorstep. And I absolutely adored this book because of how beautifully written it was and the complexity of the storytelling. Like, I was so immersed in their world that it felt like I was there watching every situation unfold. And side note, this also is a good book for LGBTQ+ month, gay pride, pride month. I don't know the right word or term for it, but anyways, it's a good read if you want to read something for pride. So, you know, it's pretty good. It's a little sad, though, so I don't know. It's a little sad. It's very, very sad. Because what truly made that book special was that you could feel the love that the main character and Giovanni had for each other, but the thing is, the main character's pride was just too fucking strong, which kept him from being true to himself, and you could feel that regret later on in the book. I'm not going to give away why he felt regret, but you could feel the regret in him at the end, and it broke my heart. And it makes sense why they couldn't be together because of the time frame it was set in, but it still was just sad altogether. And I don't know, I don't think it's one of those books I'll ever forget, so totally recommend it. So number 7 is Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. Again, this also has a different cover, but you know, it's fine, right? I don't think you guys care, it's the same book. Now, this one might be a controversial choice, because I know some people don't like it, and I'm just kind of like, why? But whatever. This is a list of books I love, and if you don't love it, that's totally fine. That's your opinion, and like, just like this is my opinion. However, we're not going to be discussing that monstrosity of a fucking movie. It doesn't exist in my book. It's gone. You know, not applicable. So I don't actually remember where I got this book from, I'll be honest. It might have been Target, it might have been somewhere else, but I remember picking it up one day, and I was like, this seems interesting. And I would just remember how excited I was to read it, because I normally don't read a lot of sci-fi books just because it's not really my speed, you know what I mean? I'm not really into sci-fi like that. So this was one of the only other, like, sci-fi books that I've read that I really enjoyed. And I'm also not much of a gamer, hate to break it to you, I'm really not. So I didn't really know half of the games that Cline mentioned in the book, but it felt like I did, you know what I mean? So the storytelling made me feel like I was a part of it, and made me feel like I knew what I was talking about, even though I really didn't. And I would say that's a good example of that. Now, I haven't read the second book because I heard it sucked, and I personally felt like this should have just been left as a standalone novel. But the first one will always hold a special place in my heart, so I will forever love it. Okay. 8. The Crown Ain't Worth Much by Hanif Abdurraqib. I probably butchered that, I apologize, but it's okay. So if you watch Button Poetry, which I think I've talked about before, it's this YouTube channel that has a lot of spoken word poets on it. I promise you that you're gonna scroll and probably find a video of him reciting a poem from his book, okay? That's why I bought it. And I can't even begin to describe how intensely he spoke about grief and loss and race and how to grow up as a black man in America. Like, it was just such a profound and unique way that you ended up walking away from the book with so much heaviness. But it was like the good kind of heaviness. It was the kind that made you feel like you learned something and that you've been changed in some way. And I just felt like this book actually did help propel my poetry. It made me want to dig deeper and to talk about things in other ways and to make something sad beautiful again. Like, it just, the way his writing is just. I don't even know the best way to describe it because it's just so unique. You know what I mean? You read his stuff and you just know that's Hanif. So, like, I don't know. You're gonna have to just read it yourself, and I promise you, you're not gonna regret it. I would recommend it to anybody who writes or reads or loves poetry because it's such a monumental piece of literature that needs to be read at least one time. And maybe to some, it might mean nothing, but to me, it's absolutely everything, which is why I made this list. And I've reread that book at least like 3 or 4 times. That's how good it was. All right. Number 9, The Rose That Grew From Concrete by Tupac Shakur. So this book is so important to me because it was actually one of the first poetry books that I've ever read that wasn't school related. And you know what's interesting is that people talk about Tupac's music and about his death, but nobody really talks about his poetry or his activism or anything else. And I feel like his poetry is such a monumental piece of him that more people need to actually bring it up. And personally, I like Tupac more for his poetry and less for his music. Not that it's not good, so don't come for me. But I like his music, but I actually love his poetry more. I prefer reading his poetry. I prefer getting to know him through that avenue versus his music or whatever else. And I would say that this book was actually part of the reason why I decided to truly start taking poetry seriously. And his work just touched my soul in such a way that I just felt like I want to do that to someone else one day. So I studied it and I kept going, and I do credit him for getting me to where I am today because I don't know what would have happened if I never found that book in my mom's room. You know what I mean? What, I don't know. Would I be a poet today, or would I have fallen in love with it the way I did? I don't know. Who knows? All right, and we're on the last one. So number 10, The Little Prince by Antoine de Saint Exupéry. I butchered the shit out of that. I am so sorry. I am not French. I took French for 4 years, but I wasn't that great at it. So, yeah. So yeah, I'm sorry if I horribly butchered that. Okay. So I read this book in English class as well, and it was years ago. So I think I was in like 9th grade. This is one of those books that I feel like children and adults can actually read because there's so many life lessons just sprinkled in it that you can take away from it. And it would really be hard to name all the themes in the book without really giving it away because I want you to experience the magic for yourself, but don't let the cover fool you. Like, it's really an amazing read that will take you on a journey of self-discovery. And I may not remember every single lesson in it, but I do remember that it made me feel something. Like, it made me feel something so deeply profound that it just made an imprint in my mind forever. Like, I will always remember The Little Prince and be like, oh yeah, that was a good book. I may not remember everything, but I do remember that it made me feel something that day, and I learned something. So, full on recommend it if you haven't read it. So yeah, guys, that is the end of today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys found some new books to read. And if you've actually read any of the books on this list, feel free to let me know in the comments or in a voice memo or in my DMs, and maybe we can discuss it together. I would love that. What was I gonna tell y'all? What was I gonna tell y'all? I was gonna tell you. Oh, guys, I'm gonna need y'all to run last week's episode up because I put a lot of work into that. I've only gotten like 3 views on it. I'm so sad. Like, can y'all please go run it back and go listen to that episode? That would be really appreciated. I would love that. Okay. Whether that's on YouTube or whether that is on any audio platform of your choice, please give me some love. You know what I mean? And if you don't like videos like that or candid storytelling, let me know. I mean, I enjoy them, but if you guys are like, oh, I want something different, I would just want writing related stuff, then okay, fine, but you know, go run that episode out. What the fuck, like, what you doing? Anyways, so you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay gorgeous. I will see you next time. Bye.